You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 305. Today is Sunday, July 5th, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hamilton and Curtis. Happy 4th of July, everybody, and happy the women's soccer team is the best one in the world. Woohoo! It was kind of a cool game to just dominate like that, by the way.
Yeah, it was awesome. Really? Carly Lloyd. Carly Lloyd.
All right, guys. In tonight's show, we'll talk about John Coppola's comments about the looming trade deadline, Tehran's future with the team, and Freddy Gonzalez's long-term prospects with the team. But first, guys, coming off a pretty miserable 1-5 week that featured a sweep at the hands of the Nationals, the Braves took 2-3 from the Nats and then 2-3 from the Phillies. We'll ignore that we should have won today's game.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. I mean, with first and third and one out. Okay.
Yeah.
So, guys, let's talk about some of what we liked best from this winning week. Hammy, what do you got?
I like Manny Banuelos building off of, you know, another dominant rookie start for the Braves. You know, I mean, he was awesome. Obviously,
he was awesome.
It was, you know, he went out earlier than we would have hoped he would have. But I mean, his control. So he had, you know, he threw 75 pitches and they said that only 8 were on the heart of the plate, that middle third of the plate, the hitter's zone. And at the same time, he walked no one. So the control was just insane. And it really speaks to the confidence that he had to go out there and have that kind of control. You know, he said from the beginning he felt great. And just to be that much in control as a rookie making his debut was great. His changeup was insane. It reminded me of Glavin. Just the guts to throw it. That's that strikeout, the second.
It was the strikeout pitch for him. It was really incredible.
He struck out 7, I think, with that pitch. And so the strikeout against Harper, where he threw that, you know, he went up, it was 2-2. And then he threw that changeup at the plate and that curveball out of the zone and struck out Harper. Just was a lot of guts and a close game. Really great. Just great. And the fact that it was against Scherzer. You know, we always lauded Tehran when he went against like Greinke, when Greinke was in Toronto. Do you guys remember that game? I mean, he just was our ace killer. Maybe it wasn't Greinke. That feels like a long time ago.
Greinke was Angels. I don't think he was on Toronto.
All right. You're thinking of KK.
You're right, actually, Curtis.
KK going against
but Tehran, Roy Halladay. Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. But sorry. But to do it against, you know, to do it against Scherzer, and it's ironic that Scherzer was the last rookie to make a debut where his line was 7 Ks, 2 hits, no runs, no walks. And that was in 2008. So in good company there and just awesome. And it's troubling that the cramping. Hopefully, you know, at the major league level, they'll learn how to keep him hydrated a little bit
better.
Well,
that's the thing. You know what, Hammy? I look at it as a positive. When I saw him go out and I was like, oh, my God. This is going to be terrible. You know, the guy has this injury history. And for it to be something that's so, you know, nothing long-term implications, I've thought that sort of added to the magic of it.
It was a relief. And it was, you know, it was against a bit of a depleted Nats lineup. Still, who cares, right? Big win.
Just great.
Awesome.
You know, it's interesting. You read between the lines on some of the comments about Foltynewicz. And it seems like maturity and sort of handling, problems were part of why he was sent down. And then you look at Banuelos and Whistler, and so much of it is their poise and their ability to rebound and just sort of not be overtaken by the large moment. I mean, there's some special stuff happening.
And enforce their will, you know, implement their will on the other team.
I agree.
Do what they want to do. It was great.
Curtis, how about you? What'd you see this week?
A little power surge, which is always good. The Braves, I was looking at the home run numbers today, and it's really shocking. The Braves have only hit 50 home runs this year. We played 82 games.
Yeah.
They've hit 50 home runs.
Where does that rank them? I mean, is it dead last?
Dead last. Yeah,
dead last?
The Phillies have 52, which is actually kind of shocking considering the Phillies play all their home games in a little league park. But To comparison, the Astros have hit 118 home runs. So, you know, we looked at the team last year that we really thought it was going to be so built on homers. And it really was supposed to be built that you would live with the strikeouts because they were going to hit a lot of homers, and then they didn't hit a lot of homers last year either. So this team is obviously the complete opposite of that, other than not hitting a lot of homers. But, you know, we've discussed the numbers about all the differences that they're third from the bottom in Ks. The Astros also lead that category. They are have 785 strikeouts to our 560. So, but it is good to have some power every once in a while, especially with Freeman out, to have some guys, just to have like three or four guys on your team. You don't need 10 or 12 guys to hit over 15 home runs like we thought we might get last year. You just need four or five guys that can hit some home runs every once in a while. They won two games as a direct result of homers this week. It's nice to produce small ball runs and all that, and that's a favorite way of mine, but it certainly doesn't hurt to be able to pull out a two-run homer every once in a while just to kind of kickstart the offense and put more crooked numbers up as opposed to just a single run here, a single run there. So, but still, Freeman's leading the team with 12.
Yeah, it was such an anemic week last week to put some runs on the board this week and to couple it with great pitching. I mean, obviously, game one against the Nats, Miller just didn't have it, and that put us in a hole we couldn't get out of. And the bullpen imploded today. But in the middle of that, the pitching was really quite remarkable. I mean, the starters gave up no runs in the two wins against Washington, and Washington only scored two runs across seven innings of relief from our bullpen across those two games. In Philly, Tehran gives up one unearned, no runs given up by the bullpen. Wood is, you know, not really sharp, gives up four, and the bullpen only gives up one more in a blowout when, you know, that the dynamic is sort of a little different. No runs given up by Miller today. So in six games this week, we held the opponent to one run three times. You know, it was good. Now, you know, the sad, crazy part, I saw in the second inning or third inning, the Nats and the Giants were still tied. You know, we win four games this week, but if the Nationals win tonight, we're still just six games out of first like we were at the start of this week.
Yeah, even when we won two,
even when we win two against them. You know, I was after we won that second game against the Nationals, I was talking to my oldest, who, you know, I raised as a Braves fan and took him to his first game and all that stuff. I mean, he was, you know, built in a laboratory to be a Braves fan. And I'm like, oh man, you know, we just won two from the Nats. We're five games out. You know, the Nats are playing the Giants, and we got the Phillies. If we can take, you know, two or three or sweep them, we might, you know, be like three games out by the end of the week. And he just laughed.
Was it a laugh like that?
Yes. Yes. I was being pitied by my 14-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, but when you have the pitching like you were talking about, Steve, then you don't have to hit 118 home runs to be competitive. You know, I mean, you can get by with a different, you need to be able to hit some home runs. But, I mean, this is the Braves can win this way. You know,
absolutely,
they can truly win this way against good teams.
Yeah, we saw. I mean, look, we saw it this week. We beat, you know, probably the second best team in the National League in the Nationals, 2 out of 3, and did it with pitching. And it was, you know, it was
on
a good sight to see.
Yeah, didn't get the, not that they have some really weak links in their starting rotation, but it's three pretty heavy duty starters that you had to face in that series as well.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, guys. So after today's game, the Braves DFA'd both Nick Massett and Dana Eveland. So the other David Carpenter and Vizcaino will be called up. Vizcaino just finished his PED suspension. So, guys, you know, no sure thing here. I mean, Vizcaino, if you remember, looked real bad in the spring, and I don't think he was going to make the opening day roster. And Carpenter has had amazing numbers all year, but I don't know why only now they're calling him up, right? It's not like we haven't had a need for some bullpen help. You know, I think that they saw something in Carpenter that kept them from pulling the trigger on it any earlier. So I think it will be interesting to watch how those guys do And as I look at Eveland and Massa, I mean, Eveland, I would have told you that he gave up runs in like half of his appearances, because you asked me how is Eveland, and I'd be like, he's been terrible. Yeah. And I was surprised to see that in the 10 games he appeared in, he gave up runs in two of them. But he also, God, he was just shaky. I mean, I'm not surprised about the Eveland move. Massett, I don't know. I mean, in 12 appearances in June, he gave up runs in the first appearance and the last one and nothing in between. And then in 3 appearances in July, 1 earned in the first, 0 in the second, and then 3 today. I mean, don't get me wrong. Massett was dreadful today and was pretty much you can hang the loss on him. If you excuse the offense not hitting against Hamels. So what do you guys think about it? Happy, sad? What do you think?
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. I mean, I would understand it if we didn't move them, but those guys are so fungible to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, Carpenter, I mean, who knows why they were doing that. Maybe they're waiting for, you know, Massett to hit a certain pitch limit up here or innings up here. Or see if he had a bad stretch and they were just ready to go with Carpenter and keeping him loose. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like the cutthroat nature in which Hart Absolutely. Is managing the bullpen. I like it. I like it. I just thought that Massett was a pretty solid piece out there. But I'm ready for the Vizcaino era. It would be amazing if he could live up to his potential. And we'll see what the other David Carpenter looks like.
Yeah, because Vizcaino hasn't pitched really well before he got suspended either. I mean, not right. just in spring training, but he, you know, his ERA in Gwinnett was a 9. So
yeah, he's just not. Yeah. He has not found it yet, but
he's the one that's interesting. Training. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of curious as to why they didn't go with somebody else other than him. I mean, there's a couple of guys looking at Gwinnett Richmond, seriously. looking at Gwinnett's stats here, I mean, it just seems like there's a couple of guys, that, especially him coming straight off a suspension.
Yeah.
And I guess McCarahan is going to do the same thing once he comes back. I think it's July 20th that he gets off his suspension, so I'm sure he'll come straight back too. But it just seems kind of weird that you wouldn't have gotten – so even some of these other guys that they brought out before – that you would give another shot to one of these guys or some guys that they haven't tried.
I think they know what they have in those guys.
Yeah, well.
By the way, how crazy, speaking of the bullpen, that the most solid piece, the guy that was the most trustworthy the first few weeks of the season in Cody Martin got traded to avoid, you know, international signing bonus penalties this week to Oakland. I mean, how quickly things turn.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Cody Martin.
Yeah, too bad. I mean, that's a guy that...
I know. He seemed like a good dude, and it was a great story at the beginning of the season. All right, guys. Next up is fair or foul, where I'll throw something out there, and we agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So, John Coppola spoke this week to Mark Bowman about the trade deadline and the win now, build for the future, sort of both paths approach that the team is taking. He said, quote, "We don't want to lose 100 games or put our fan base through any type of extended suffering. When we get to the trade deadline, we won't look to ship out everyone who is on a free agent contract or everybody who is over the age of 30. So, Hammy, fair or foul, if the Braves are out of the race at the trade deadline, you agree with this approach?
So what is out of it? 10 games?
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, it's 8 games or more, you know, 10 games certainly.
Okay. So for me, I think it's interesting that comment when he says we don't want to lose 100 games or put our fan base through any type of extended suffering, because I don't think those are the same things, because I would lose 100 games. If we're
I
out
think
of,
he means those as the same thing, though.
Okay.
I do.
Because I would – so I'm not going to – his comments, I don't know. But I would say I would rather – I would go through a shortened, contained suffering if it felt like we were on a path to sustained excellence in the coming years, right? And for me, 100 games, if you're out of it, I don't care if you lose 120 games. Who cares? It's in a season, right? If you have the pieces and are making the moves that when you get to the next season, you're building towards something. I don't want to be the Joe Johnson, Josh Smith era Hawks with Mike Woodson. I don't want that. So I would rather go through a period of, you know, suffering to with an eye towards what would come in 2017, 2018. So I'm foul, I guess, with that.
And I don't ever want to hear the name Mike Woodson on this show again.
Curtis, or Josh Smith.
Or Josh Smith, yeah, for that matter. Sorry. Curtis, how about you?
I think I kind of look at it the same way. I would think that why wouldn't you? Last year was extended suffering as far as I'm concerned.
God, it was.
So I would much rather see them getting some ideas about some guys. If they're 8-10 games out, bring Betancourt back up and see what he has. Move AJ Pierzynski. Get whatever you can, even if it's low level trade returns, which it's obviously going to be. Just make those moves and get guys as much playing time as they possibly can get to find out what you have. I mean, we just talked about some of these young relievers and your suggestion that they know what they have with some of these guys. Well, let's find out, you know.
I mean, do you think that's why they're bringing up Vizcaino, is to trade him?
Oh, I don't know that they're bringing him up to trade him, but I'm just saying, throw these guys in the fire so we find out exactly what we have going forward. Because why not? If you're going to be out of it, you're out of it. Like you said, Ham, it doesn't really matter if you lose 90 games or 110 games. It's all the same.
There's no silver medal.
Yeah, I mean, the wild card is not coming out of the East. The NL East is too weak for that. There's too much power in the Central and the West. So if we are these 10 games, 12 games out, and we have just gone through the fire of the second half of July of the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Cardinals, then to hold on to Johnson, Grilly, AJ, all that stuff, like the we're playing both sides, we're playing for now and we're playing for the future, has been great. And I've been all in. And, I'm having those conversations with my son about, you know, we're still in it for the NL East. But if it's the end of July and we're not in it for the NL East, then enough. Then see what you can get for these guys. Keep stockpiling. And, right, bring up the young kids. I mean, to me, it's just I guess the other part of it is I don't believe it. If they get offered something halfway decent for Jim Johnson or Grilly or AJ or Gomes, they're taking it. We've seen that from Hart.
And but Gomes, you mean like a fresh set of baseballs?
The leadership, I wouldn't say in the fresh. Clubhouse, man. The leadership in the clubhouse. All right, guys. So Tehran had another great home start, continuing his crazy home road splits. So, Curtis, fair or foul, you would consider trading Tehran?
I look at this and see that he still has value, and it's wavering some with this crazy home road split, and even David O'Brien has no sense of why this huge discrepancy between his starts. And I say this as a person that really loves Julio Tehran as a starting pitcher for the Braves, but I don't want it. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago about these young pitchers and their very short windows. And we've also seen what we have in some of these other guys, these other young pitchers. So if we got an offer, I would totally consider trading Tehran. So I would be fair just because he does still have a lot of potential and a lot of value, and it's not going to be a situation where you hold on to him too long and it's JJ and Tommy Hansen and you don't get anything back for them. So
you see, so here's the thing with me is I don't think he's broken. I don't think he's JJ or Hansen.
No, yeah. And neither do I. And I'm not trying to insinuate that his career is over or anything like that.
I mean, his $32 million extension takes him through 2019. He's only 3.3 next year. So the real-ish money doesn't really kick in until 17, and where he's $8 million, he's $9 million in 18. I just think that the fact that you see these amazing numbers at home means that great pitcher is still in there, and there's just something to be fixed. So to me, you're not going to get value for him right now, given those bad numbers on the road. And you may still have an amazing two or three on your hands for $32 million through 19. So to me, I'm foul. Hammy?
Yeah, I think there's still room to fix it. And I think I agree, Stevie, you're selling low on him now if you do. I don't think his best years are necessarily behind him. I just hope I can figure it out. It's just such a strange thing. You know, do you think the coaching staff are working on the mental side of this, like trying to create, or have you heard, other than the mechanics and sort of thinking about, you know, on the road, your release point is different, whatever that means, right? And the mound is different, or the backdrop, the lighting. But do you think it's like the hotel and his routine? Is he young and careless on the road? It's just such a crazy thing. I wonder how hard they're trying. Not that they're not trying, right, and care about it, but I wonder the extremes they're going to try to figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, the longer it goes on, the more it feels to me like a mental thing than
a mechanic thing. Is he just sensitive, you know, to the opposing crowd?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not like we saw it in past years. But again, that's why it feels like it's something that can be addressed.
It feels
except when he went to
me.
California. I mean, we.
Well, but there's that whole like grip thing.
Yeah, him. But I mean, whatever. And the question was, you'd consider trading Tehran, not all you. Right. You would trade.
Well,
Tehran.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Freddie Gonzalez talked this week about what a great relationship he has with the front office right now. Read between the lines. I hate Frank Wren.
And I love Bobby Cox.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
John Hart.
So, quote, Freddie said, "In 9 years of managing, this is the best situation I've worked in. It's been a really good place to come to work. It's been great. It's been the ultimate." So, Curtis, fair or foul, Freddie is the manager to start 2016.
I'm sure as a major league manager that it's you're always kind of there with the sword of Damocles hanging over your head that it's going to snap and fall on you at any given time. So I imagine that not thinking that that is going to be the case, considering he got fired in Miami and we've talked about him getting fired for at least 2 years now in Atlanta. So I'm sure it's nice to be able to come to the office and not be constantly reminded that you're one breath away from losing your job. So with that, I will say fair. I think he's done a good job this year, given what the team he has to work with and where they are. And so I don't think he merits being fired at this point. And so I say fair. He will be there to start 2016.
Hammy?
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely merits it coming back this year or next year. He had a team where they traded away pretty much all of the best assets, and he's two games under 500 and you know, 5.5 games, depending on what happens with the Nats Giants.
Yeah. And if they had a bullpen worth a darn.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, he's exactly. Done and he's, and it feels like he's adapting a little bit. I don't know. I think that I don't think that it would be the Braves way to fire Freddie, because I think he's overachieved this season, and I don't think he deserves it. As you know, I have not always been the biggest fan of Freddie, but I think unless, you know, and I would try to think for what situation would they, if there was some all-star manager out there, maybe they would, but not based on performance this year. And there's no all-star manager out there. There's no La Russa or somebody coming back from retirement.
Right. I mean, you're not firing Freddie after all that offensive power walked out of the clubhouse, all the war, the you know, the best closer in the game. You're not firing Freddie to get Bud Black. I mean, Bud Black is not putting butts right in the seat in Cobb right County. There's a bunch of stuff you can point at with Freddie, but Freddie's done a good job this year. I don't know how you can say anything. I'm sure there are people who are like, yeah, he blew five games for us over the course of the season. I don't know that I believe it. And frankly, it's, you know, he's done well. This team is on pace to win as many games as the team did last year. And it is, by all accounts, less.
A show of itself.
Yeah, a show. Exactly. All right, guys. Next up, let's play You Guess the Braves Player. So I'm going to throw out some stats and you guys tell me which player it is. All right. So, Hammy, let's start with you. Since June 1st. This Braves player is batting .253, two homers, six doubles, and a triple. I love hearing you think on the show, Hammy.
Andrelton Simmons.
All right, Curtis?
Kelly Johnson.
Pyrzynski.
Oh.
After his unbelievable April, his slash line in May was 145, 197, 194. Pyrzynski has figured it out again. I don't know if it stays here, but it's been really a remarkable turnaround for Pierzynski.
Wow, did somebody die in the outfield for him to get a triple?
I know.
Yeah, it was that time where that guy broke his leg and then right. dragged himself to get the ball. All right, so Curtis, over his last 17 appearances, which is 17 and a third innings, 2 earned runs given up. Who's that?
Jim Johnson.
Hammy?
Artsma.
Jim Johnson.
Ding,
ding, ding, ding. You know, heading into today, again, obviously today things went bad. Over the last 16 games, the bullpen has an ERA under 2. Really been some nice things happening in the bullpen. All right, Hammy, over the last 18 games, he's hitting 164.
Jace Peterson.
Curtis?
Anderson Simmons.
Jace Peterson.
Yeah.
So before this slump has started, and the 18 games included today, he went 1-for-4 today. Before the slump started, his slash line was 284, 354, 379. I mean, he has fallen off a cliff. Now, you know, the good news for him is that Peraza is not tearing it up in AAA right now behind the plate either. So I don't think Peterson's going anywhere, but it would certainly help the team, particularly with him in the leadoff spot, to start figuring it out a little bit more.
It's the dreaded Kurt shot in the dark curse.
It's the midpoint. It's the summer doldrums. I think it's, you know, a long season for these guys. I don't know.
All right, guys, next up, find the silver lining, what we can hang our hat on for this week. So, Curtis, what do you got for this week?
Well, it's just a nice story and a guy that came up and actually did a nice job while he was here. The revolving door that is the bullpen for the 2015 Atlanta Braves. But Jake Brigham, a guy who was in the minors for 9 years and had only thrown 44 innings above double A before he came up this week, and he has pitched in 3 games. He's only given up 1 earned run, so 1.93 ERA, 1.07 WHIP. Not bad, considering what's been going on with our bullpen. And it's just nice for a guy to get rewarded after a long, long minor league career. Ryan Kelly, also a long minor league career, and came up and was promptly sent right back down to Gwinnett. But so Jake Brigham, my silver lining of the week.
Yeah, I hope he can continue it. He was pretty shaky today. But yes, I'm with you. In fact, just actually a quick story about Jake Brigham. So my wife sat down in the living room while we were watching the 10th inning where he was getting, because he was getting hit around pretty good. And she was like, "Man, I bet if you're a Philly, you feel terrible if you don't get a hit off this guy." I was like, "Oh, man, honey, that's harsh." All right. Nice. Hammy, what do you got?
We'll go with Cameron Maben. Just a revelation at center field. And, you know, we've talked about him a number of times over the course of the season. But this week, 9 hits, 4 runs, 2 doubles, a little bit of that power that Curtis was talking about, homer.
Homer.
And 2 stolen bases. So just great. Just a key part of our lineup.
It's crazy. And the whole, like, big smiles that you get with him whenever he gets a hit on base just sort of adds to it. And the cameramen love it now. They're starting to show it every time.
He's very likable.
Like, he's very likable.
All-star.
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure that Miller's going to be the guy named by, you know, the coaches and the players, I would think. But, God, I hope that he's a reserve. Or if he's not a reserve, I wonder if he'll be one of the 3 guys that, you know, the right-in guy. Yeah, and for me, I'll go with Tehran. I mean, at least the home dominance has continued, and he looked great. I mean, you know, no earned runs, 7 innings. It was a nice, nice start for Tehran. You know, hope he can ride that into his road start coming this week. All right, guys, next up is Shot in the Dark, brought to you by Front Row Seats, where you can get the best deals on tickets online. Braves, concerts, anything you're looking for. So visit frontrowseatsllc.com and use discount code ABT and you won't be charged any service fees. Again, frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, so guys, we'll start with our listener pick for Shot in the Dark. And it was from our Twitter follower, Your Daily Vinny, also one of our past bloggers, friend of the show. It was that Bryce Harper would have more home runs than all of the Braves combined during this week's series with the Nats. And I have to say that a lot of folks, like, once we put that out there, made fun of Vinny and us for picking it. But aside from the fact that it's kind of a shallow victory, we totally hit more home runs than Bryce Harper did this week. So the Braves hit 2 during the series. Harper hit none. So good job, Vinny. All right, guys, before we get our predictions this week, let's check in on how we did last week. So, Kurt, you predicted that Miller would get 2 wins this week.
Gooch.
Alas, he only got 1. Although he only got none, that is. He deserved right. 1, at least.
Yeah, and he got hammered in the other one.
He really did. Goodness. Ham, you predicted that Tehran, Wood, and Miller combined in this Phillies series would give up less than 4 earned.
4 or less.
I'm sorry, 4 or less. 4 or less. And you didn't specify earned or not, Hammy.
Oh.
So Tehran gave up 1 unearned. Wood gave up 4 earned. So, sorry, Ham.
It was five.
Huh. I predicted that Tehran would go 8 innings, 1 earned. He went 7, no earned. So I win. Yeah.
Seems rigged at this point.
It's 1 for me, 0 for you guys in July.
It feels like a convenient ruling from the judge.
All right, Curtis, what do you got this week?
We were just talking about him, Cameron Maybin. I have him going over 325 this week, 1 home run, 2 doubles.
All right, Hammy, what do you got?
I think I wrote Tehran an email, and he's going to bring his binky with him, or his bunkie, on the road.
My God, it seems so simple now that
I know. I'm going to try everything. And he goes 7 innings, giving up 2 earned runs or less, and gets a win this week.
All right, and for the first time in show history, I am duplicating my shot in the dark from the prior week. I'm sticking with Tehran. 8 innings, 1 earned.
Uh-oh.
So, Hammy, you and I, a little, like, showdown action going on here.
Right.
All right, everyone, please check out our Shot in the Dark sponsor, Front Row Seats, where you can get the best deals on tickets online, Braves, concerts, anything you're looking for. Visit frontrowseatsllc.com, use discount code ABT, and you won't be charged any service fees. Again, frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, guys, let's take a look at our win-loss predictions we made last week and then look ahead to this week's games. So for this 4-2 week, we all undersold the Braves. We all went 3-3, clearly scared of that Nationals series.
Yep.
And the Braves exceeded that. So good job,
should have been 5-1. Should have been 5-1.
God, it should have been 5-1. All right, guys, the week ahead, road trip to finish out the first half, 3 in Milwaukee, 4 in Colorado. And we'll look at the pitching matchup. So we start with Whistler, Kyle Loesch, and his 6.24 ERA. And that's not been skewed by a few bad games. He has given up runs every game. Bonuelos, Matt Garza, and his 5.55 ERA. And then Tehran, Mike Fears, and his 3.83 ERA. He's been quite good his last few starts. You know, the Brewers were supposed to be part of our easy first half of the month. Then, of course, they're on an 8-game win streak. Actually, I don't know what they did today. They've either won 8 and lost 1 or won 9. So moving on to Colorado, they are in last place in the West. They've lost 4, and I don't know what they did today either. But they had lost 4 heading into today. It's Wood, Kyle Kendrick, and his 6.0 ERA. You know, Kurt, I expected you to interrupt me there and say Braves killer.
He's
on with all his time with the Phillies. So I looked it up because I assumed he was a Braves killer too. He is lifetime 9-4 with a 3.44 ERA against the Braves.
Well, it seemed like there was that first couple of years when he came up with the Braves, with the Phillies, that the Braves just could not beat him to save their life.
And it's when the Phillies were so dominant, when they had Halliday and Hamels and Lee, and he was the one who would kill us every time.
Right, right.
And what was the dude, who's the other guy with the glasses?
Blanton.
Yeah, no.
Oh, but him too.
Yeah.
The guy with the glasses. I don't know.
Vance Worley.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So Milwaukee won and the Colorado won.
Yep.
Okay, so Milwaukee. So I think actually I'd check that out. So Milwaukee's won their last eight. Colorado's lost four of their last five. All right, so next up in Colorado, Shelby Miller versus old friend David Hale, who is not faring too well in Colorado. He has a 5.89 ERA and a lot of home runs, 11 home runs in 47 and a third innings. Next, Whistler, Jorge De La Rosa, and his 4.83 ERA. And the last game before the All-Star break, Banuelos versus Chad Bettis and his 3.67 ERA. So we get two Whistler starts and two Banuelos starts this week. Mm. All right, so guys, predictions for the week. Hammy, what do you got?
I bet both Banuelos and Whistler split their starts and go 1-1. I think we go 4-3 overall, 2-1, 2-2.
All right, Curtis, how about you?
Going a little better than that. 2-1, 3-1. We always seem to play well in Colorado, so that would be, by my math, 5-2.
Yeah, and I have that same exact prediction. 5-2, 2-1, 3-1. So let's see if we can finish the first half strong. All right, guys, that is the show. Everyone, please make sure you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit the problem.